Thank you. I see the Lord lifting burdens off people this morning. Things that you've carried, things you've not understood. Especially feel in that area that there's some people here that you've carried the weight of something that you have not understood. The Lord wants to lift that from you this morning. Lord, I thank you there's healing in your presence, there's wholeness in your presence, there's freedom in your presence. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I'm going to release you because I know Rebecca is looking after the children as well. So thank you, Treasure, for doing that. Lord, I thank you that we're called to be people of presence. People who know what it is to walk with you. Lord, to carry a peace that calms storms. I thank you for that. Lord, as we look into the word this morning, I thank you for understanding of your word. Lord, I pray even for a lifting of the veil for people who have not understood your heart, your intention, and what your word is actually saying. Lord, I pray this morning that there will be an opening and a breaking open of the truth of your word and your heart towards us. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Okay. It does look like I keep bouncing up today, but the Holy Spirit's really wanting me to share some things with you. I've been a Christian a very long time, but I have not always understood what it means to understand the presence of God. And I think that there are people here that are hearing this word being mentioned 1,000 times today without really understanding. Okay, so I can grasp it in its English context, but how do I get there? What is it? And I just want to encourage you that you listen to what the series that Pam has been teaching, and you even go back onto the website. You see, when you understand that to understand the presence of God is to completely turn your concept of God upside down, to lay away from the Old Testament concept of a God who is angry and who is following law, and you will do it, the God who demands 100% cleanliness, etc. When you change that to the point where you understand that we're getting a new revelation of God. God is revealing himself to the world again, to his children, that he is Papa, that he is Father, that he is love. That when we know that he's a God of love, man, that is so easy to then start talking to him and relating to him. And it's in that place that you find presence.
Thank you, Lynn. Yes, we have been doing a whole series that is up on the website. We've been going through and talking about what it means to be God's kids. It's the amazing scripture here in Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When we're born again, we are born into the family of God, and God himself becomes our Father. That is huge. And not only that, but God invites us to relate to him as a father. The word Abba means daddy, papa, papa. It's an intimate word. And here we have God Almighty in all his splendor, in all his glory, the fact that he is all-knowing, all those words. I was going to start rattling off a few. God, who is huge, has said, you can call me Papa, Abba, Daddy. That is the type of relationship that he wants us to live in. And when we start to live in that, that's when we start to live in the presence of God. See, I don't know about you, but home is always home. When you go home, it's like, I'm home, I can relax. Holidays are great, but there's something about being home. Home is home. Home is where you are, who you are. And God says, when you get saved, I'm going to come and I'm going to make my home with you. These concepts blow me away. And I believe a lot of the church lives without this understanding that God wants to be Papa. He doesn't want to be your boss. Because most of us aren't that fast on our boss. Some of you can nod on that one. He wants to be daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's huge. And I would encourage you to go back over and listen to these messages again and start to let your spirit grab hold of the fact that we are not servants, we are sons and we are daughters of God Almighty. Here it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Most people think that the Spirit of God is going around telling people off. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. You need to do better on that. No, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are. Do you know what the first question is in the Bible? First question in the Bible. Right after Adam and Eve sinned. Yes, where are you? God's still asking that question. Even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of our mess. The second question. Because Adam said, I've messed up, I've found out I'm naked and I'm hiding. God didn't say, what have you done wrong? Didn't you listen to me? You know what he asked? Who told you? In other words, whose voice are you listening to? Because the voice that you listen to is important. When we listen to the wrong voice, we will wear the wrong identity and we will end up in sin. There is one reason and one reason only, I believe, why the devil does not want you to know that you're a son or daughter of God. It's because he wants you to live under a shroud of guilt and condemnation, because those who do end up in sin. You'll never get free for long by feeling guilty. It might work for a little bit, but it will not work long term. You will back away from God rather than draw close. And just like with Adam, God's saying, where are you? Yeah, I know you messed up, but where are you? Stop listening to the wrong voice and come close. Well, this morning, I want to take the scripture that we've been looked at for several weeks now, and I want us to start to put it within its context. And I want us to see a little bit more of what God is saying in this passage. So the first thing that we're going to do is bring in verse 14, the verse before. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. As I said a couple of minutes ago, the Holy Spirit does not go around ticking us off. He does not tell us everything that is wrong with us. He tells us what is right about us, that we are children of God, that we're sons of righteousness, that we have a future, we have a hope, and that he lives in us and that he is our strength and our comforter and our guide. And here it says, verse 14, that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Notice it doesn't say driven by the Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't drive us, he leads us. Being a farm girl, I know very much about the difference between leading something and driving something. We would get a huge mob of sheep and we would drive the sheep. We would be behind them with dogs, and we would make sure that they went where we wanted them to go. Now, when the Bible talks about sheep in the Bible, it is not thinking of farms in New Zealand. Because on farms in New Zealand, you drive sheep. In the time the Bible was written, sheep were not driven, they were led. God does not want to force you. He wants to lead you. That means he'll go ahead of you and he'll call you and he'll encourage you to come with him. The Holy Spirit is a huge encourager and he's a great teacher. He is not walking along dragging us. He wants to lead us. There's another thing I want you to notice with these scriptures is that verse 14 speaks about the sons of God, that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons. Verse 16, it talks about children. Now, these are very different words. What we have, verse 16, is children. That's technon. It means born one. Just means born again, you're God's kid. But when it says in verse 14 that if we're led by the Spirit, we are sons of God, that's the word huios. And it's a different word, and it carries the meaning of being like a mature son. As it says there, it primarily signifies the relation of the offspring to the parent. That's his son. Ray grew up as one of the Watson boys. There were six of them. And you probably, when you were growing up, had some people in your area too. They were those kids. They carried the identity of the family that they were in. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we become sons. We become those who are known as God's kids. There's John, God's kid. And that's when John starts to grow from being a child to being a son. One that you can look at and recognize who the father is. And that's why it's saying here in verse 14 that if we want to be mature in God, it's not about what we do. That's to come under that spirit of bondage. It's about who we are led by. It's about who we're in relationship with. And letting the Spirit of God guide us and lead us. See, maturity in the body of Christ is not about learning things. It's about knowing God. The more we know Him, the more we become like Him, and the more we become as His sons and daughters. I want to speak this morning about this whole area of maturing as sons and daughters of God and having God train us as sons. See, it's one thing to be born into a family, and each of us delight over a newborn baby. We look at it and it's like a wonderful new little life. But if a 20-year-old is behaving like a 2-year-old, something is wrong. Oh, I got an answer on that one. Yes, something is wrong. God wants us to grow as sons, and this is not going to be one of those messages where there's probably going to be heaps of amens. That's okay. God wants us to know that we are loved and accepted, and we have spent most of this message series focusing on the fact that we are accepted in the Beloved, that we are loved with this love of a God who is so big and yet so close. But this morning I want to talk about us maturing as sons and daughters of God. Because I believe God wants to be able to say over us, that's my son, he looks just like me. That's my daughter, look at the glory on her. So Papa starts to train us to look just like him. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to start with an Old Testament scripture about how God guides us and instructs us and helps us grow. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I don't know about you, but there was times when I was a kid when I became conscious that Mum's eyes were on me. It's like, ooh, she's watching, what is it? And I would look towards her and I would see that questioning look in her eyes, like, are you sure you're going to keep doing that? By the laughter in John, I can tell that he had the same experience. Probably many of you have. You have felt that look. Or there are other times when I would go and do something and I would look back at my parents and I was looking for the look in their eye. Like, is it okay? And that's the picture that the Lord brings here. I will guide you with my eye. You will feel the expression in my eyes that says, I don't think that's a good idea. Or, yeah, sure, go for it. So that's part of living as sons and daughters, knowing what it is to feel Papa encourage us to keep going or say, no, back off, don't go in that area. The other thing that it says there is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. He doesn't say, well, just go and figure it out. And if you make a mess, you'll just have to clean it up after yourself. No, he says, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will help you. Papa God wants us to live our life in relationship with Him. See, maturity is not us getting our act together. Maturity is knowing how to be led by God so that we're dependent upon Him. And some of us can feel like we're not doing very well as a Christian because we're always leaning upon God. Guess what? You're maturing. Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. I do what I see Father doing. I say what I hear Father saying. In the world, we try and get independent. Kingdom's ways are always opposite. We're going to take this whole area of being disciplined, being trained, being matured in God. We're going to take this into a passage of Scripture this morning that a lot of people have struggled with. It's one of those passages that many just skip over. It's because I'm not sure I like that one. So let's have a look at it together and unpackage what I believe the Lord is saying. So where we're going is in Hebrews 12. Let's put it in context first of all, and we'll start with verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The context of Hebrews 12 is laying aside sin, dealing with the weights that we easily pick up in life, and running as a Christian into all that God has for us. It's about maturing. It's about God training us to be His sons and daughters. So that's verse 1. Verse 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. And many of us, when we get to a verse like that, we skip to the next chapter. It's like, not sure I like that one, God. Especially if you've come from an abusive background, your tendency will be, I want to skip over this. But let's unpackage it with an understanding of what God's heart is towards us. I only jump down to verse 11 now because it reveals God's heart in what He's saying, and then we'll come back to verse 5. Verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Mentions there the peaceable fruit of righteousness. When our life is together, it's good. We have peace, we have harmony, we have rest. And that's what Papa God wants for us. He wants all the messes to be cleaned up. He wants us to live in the peaceable fruit that comes from having our life not only right with Him, but our life being lived out in a right manner. That makes sense? Okay. Now, there are a couple of words in there which we are going to have a look at to help us understand, because many times our English translation does not help us understand what the original is saying. And if you're reading your Bible and you come across something you don't understand, jump online, find out what the original is saying. Don't just rely upon what the English says to you. Find out what God said in the original. So we're going to take a couple of words here. The first is chastening. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful. Chastening is actually the word paideia. It means tutorage. That is, education or training. By implication, discipline. It's the whole idea of raising a child in a school or in an education system. Where it finishes at the end talking about those who have been trained by it. Trained is gymnazo, to exercise in a palestra or school of athletics. What the Lord is talking about here is he's talking about the pain of discipline. Now, who here has been part of a sports team? Okay. The relay race. Okay. Or athletics, any type of sport. Okay, yep, I can see some hands going up. Who has had to go to practices? Okay. Who has come home with pain after a game or after a practice? Okay? That is the pain that comes with discipline. If you are going to run a half marathon and you have never run before, you are probably going to have to endure some pain. You are nodding. Okay. That is all part of training. That is all part of discipline. And this is what the Bible is talking about. Let me give you another analogy. I should have left it to see how many of you were listening. How many of you have had kids who have come to you and begged not to go to school that day? Oh, yes. A lot of you have understood that. They don't want to go to school. There's going to be a test. There's going to be something. For me, it was sports days. I never wanted to go to school on sports days. Did you send your kids? You mean horrible things. Why? Why didn't you say to them, oh, you poor little thing, of course you don't want to sit that test. Let's just have a sickie today. Stay home with mummy. Or let's go out fishing with daddy. Who wants to sit tests at school? I don't think any of you did that. Because even though you knew it was painful for your child to go through the process, you wanted them to mature. And this is what Hebrews 12 is about. It's not about God beating up on us. I like what Bill Johnson says. God is better than you think, so change the way you think. And when we don't know the heart of God, we can read passages like this and not understand what he's saying to us. God is good. He's a good papa. But that means that there'll be some things you want to run away from, and he'll say, no, don't run away from it. Go through it. So let's come back to verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening. Remember, that means discipline and training of the Lord. More, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Let's look at our two responses. Do not despise. To despise is to think light of. Oh, doesn't matter. Sometimes we can do that. When God's speaking to us about an issue, we can have the attitude, oh, doesn't matter. I'm under grace. God loves me. I can still just keep having my pity party and what does it matter? I'll do what I want to do. That's to despise. The other one says, nor be discouraged. To be discouraged is to become disheartened and to feel like, oh, I'm such a lousy Christian. Why do I even bother? And the Lord's saying, don't take either one of those attitudes, because what will happen is you'll back away from what God's wanting to do in your life. He's wanting to help you grow. He's wanting to help you deal with the things that have caused frustration and failure in your life. So he says, don't back away from those. And then it mentions the two areas, the chastening of the Lord. Now, some people have taken these words and they have come up with the idea that, you know, God's going to get after me with a big stick, or I'm fighting a disease, so maybe God is trying to teach me something. Because their idea of chastening is, let's get out there and see how much hurt we can cause. That is sad when you have believers who believe that. It reveals that they do not know the heart of Papa God. One of the reasons that people come up with all kinds of crazy ideas in this area is because they have not recognized what the cross has done. So you never live like the cross never made a difference. It made a difference to everything, even our date. In the Old Testament, what we see is we see the power of sin and we see the judgment of sin. When there is sin, we see people die. We see judgment come. But on the cross, Jesus took not only our sin, but he took our judgment. And that has changed everything. That means that when there is sin in our life, God not only wants us free from sin, but he also has dealt with the area of judgment or punishment. God is not out to punish us. God is out to help us grow and to become more like Jesus. And if we think that he is punishing us, then we will end up with a wrong view of God and a wrong response. How many of you, when you were punished as a child for doing something, ran and gave your parent a hug afterwards? None of you? That doesn't surprise me. How many of you have been trained by a coach and at the end of a coaching session have thanked your coach? Even though you were tired, your muscles were sore, and all you wanted to do was get home and get into a hot bath or whatever and recover, right? But you thanked your coach because you knew that your coach's heart was for you and that your coach was helping you to develop and whatever you had a heart for. See, if you have come from an abusive background, I encourage you, start to see God as a coach when you're reading through a passage of scripture like this. It will help you to stay connected. Mentions here in the last line, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. I mentioned about when I was a little girl feeling what it was to have, it was usually my mother's eyes on me rather than dad, but feeling what it was to know that I was being intently watched because I was starting to step over a line. I quickly discovered that if I decided to pay no attention to that whatsoever, and I kept on going and doing what I wanted to do, that the next thing that was going to happen was I was going to hear some words. Usually my name, or usually a statement. Like, come here. You up with me? God wants to guide us with his eyes. He wants that relationship with us where we know his approval and we can sense when we're heading off into something. And he's saying, nah, don't go there. It's called that lack of peace. You go to do something and it's like, oh, I just don't feel right. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you. And as we learn to listen to it, we mature and become sons. But what happens when we decide, oh, doesn't matter, I'll just do it anyway. What we end up with is a rebuke. And that's words. Let me give you an example from my own life, and you may start to pick up even some examples from your situation as well. I remember one time when Ray said or did something. I can't remember. I think it was something he said, and I didn't think it was all that nice. So I responded in like manner. He was a bit short and snarky, so goodness me, I'll speak like that back to him. But I felt the Lord's displeasure. It wasn't any words. I could just feel like he was not happy with me. So what was my response? Well, that's the way Ray spoke. What I heard back was I heard the Lord say, I am the example you follow, not Ray. Now that is what you call a rebuke. I wanted to justify my actions and say, well, he did, so I can. And the Lord took it from just that sense of he wasn't happy to speaking words to me that were a rebuke. Now, I can't remember what Ray said. I can't remember what I said. But I do remember what the Lord said. And that's what the Lord will do in our life. If we're not listening, if we just think we're doing our own thing, and he's trying to lead us, he will speak to us if he needs to, and many times he will speak that rebuke. It's not unkind, it's not hurtful, but it has a weight to it. And as I said, I haven't forgotten those words. And any time now that I want to just act like somebody else is acting, it's like, okay, Lord. That's where his words become instruction. And that's where we start to grow. So it's making sense. Okay. Better push on. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, that's that discipline word again, and scourges every son whom he receives. And we all go, oh, yay. Again, this is where we get the idea that God is going to cause some catastrophe or put some sickness on us, because when we read the word scourge, we think of Jesus tied to a pole and them whipping him with a cat-o'-nine-tails. and I'm ending up this bloody mess. I am allowed to say that. That was a Roman scourge. The Jewish scourge was different. The Jewish scourge was simply three pieces of leather. Paul was scourged five times. Now, if he was scourged the way that Jesus was scourged by the Romans, using a Roman whip, he would not have survived. Most people who were scourged by the Romans died because of the ordeal, because of the way that they weighted those thongs with pieces of bone and everything that was made to pull out the flesh of the person being scourged. And there was nine of them, not three. But again, because we do not understand the culture and we do not understand the word, we have this picture of, dear God, is that what you're going to do to me? And God's saying, no, of course not. That's what Jesus endured. But that's not what our heavenly Papa does. But if we don't listen, God will allow pain to wake us up. I like the quote by C.S. Lewis. God whispers through pleasure, but he shouts through pain. Papa loves us too much to let us head towards a cliff and destroy our life. If you saw a kid in the middle of the road and they were playing with marbles and you saw a car coming towards them, would you just stand there and say, oh, I think you should move? Or would you just go and grab that kid? Now, you probably wouldn't think about how well you picked that kid up. You would just be getting that kid out of the way of harm. As I said, God is not into beating up his kids. He is not an abusive father. But if we're not listening, there will be situations in our life that start to cause us pain, that start to cause questions, that start to cause us to say, what's happening here? And that's exactly the question that God wants us to ask. David in Psalm 32, he said, when I did not listen and I remained silent, and he's talking about his sin with Bathsheba, he said, God's hand was heavy upon me. And it's this whole idea that God will wake us up because he loves us. Some of us can live with the fear that we're going to miss God. Anybody here live with that fear that I'm just going to mess up so bad that I'm going to miss God? Okay. That was a lie that the devil tried to use on me as a young Christian. God is the one looking after us. He is the one that has his eye on us. He is the one that is constantly watching his kids to make sure they're safe. If you're a parent, you know what it is. If your kids are in the backyard, you may be doing something, but your eye is constantly on your kid. Are they safe? Papa is just like that. His eye is on us. We're his kids, and he is totally committed to seeing us grow into who he has called us to be. See, it's not too late. You haven't missed God, because God is the one that's walking with you. And as you get older, sometimes you can start to wonder that, God, have I missed you? No. Lost what piece of paper I am on. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Again, train, discipline. But if you are without chastening or discipline or training, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Number one, all of God's kids are being trained because God is committed to making you just like Jesus. So all of us are part of this. Number two, it's telling us there that if we don't endure, that word means to stay under. If we don't stay in the training, then we start to become like illegitimate sons. What that is referring to there is it's referring to the children of slave woman. They were that man's children, but they were not recognized children. They were outside of a covenant of marriage. And God's saying, stay under the training process, because I don't want you to become like those who are outside of covenant and are not disciplined by me and not walking in the fullness of what I have for you. See, Papa has a plan for your life and he's training you towards it. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us or trained us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Again, the whole thing that God is training us so that we become his sons and his daughters that look just like him. Papa has a destiny for you. That destiny involves being a son or a daughter of God. It involves being one who is like Jesus. And to become all of that, we need to be part of his training program. So don't opt out, opt in. If you decide to play a sport and you go along and you say to the coach, oh, just take it real easy on me. I don't want sore muscles. Yeah, I'd like to be able to run a half marathon, but I can only run once a month. Do you think by the end of the year I can do a half marathon? Quick answer on that one. Papa wants us to be able to fulfill the dream in our heart because he put it there. It starts by knowing that it's his dream and that he's a good daddy But it comes to fruition as we learn to be led by the Spirit, as we learn to listen to His voice, as we learn to be guided by that sense of His approval or disapproval. It happens through allowing Him to adjust us and, if need be, rebuke us and say, hey, that's not you. Don't do that. Don't live there. And by saying, yes, Lord. Let's finish by going back to where we started. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Papa wants us to grow. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Again, verses we tend to jump over. Don't. Because God wants us to be able to walk in the glory of sons. He wants us to be able to be those that people can look at and say, I know who that person is. They're a Christian. See, I don't know about you, but I've been places and I've talked to somebody and it's like, and I've just seen them doing things and it's like, they're saved. I've recognized that they're God's kid. Anybody else done that? Well, you've just recognized, I'm seeing some nods. The world is waiting to see God's kids. Right now, we have a world that is starting to recognize we are at war. There are demonic forces out there that are bringing destruction and heartache and chaos. They need hope. They need to know that there are people who know what it is to walk in presence and say, I have a good God. Papa wants to release His sons and daughters into this world because this world is starting to cry out for answers. It's starting to cry out for a people of peace who know what it is to walk in a wisdom and in a presence and in a love that's not of this world and to start to come to those people and say, what is it that you have? I want it. I want it. That's what God's raising up. He's raising up His army of sons and daughters that look just like Jesus and will go out into this messed up world with a message of love, a message of grace, a message of forgiveness, a message of hope. Don't be concerned or fearful of what you hear on the news. Just know whose kid you are and that you walk in presence and that you walk in a peace that other people are hungry for. Let's pray. Papa, I thank you that you are training us to be people of presence, to be your sons and your daughters. Lord, I believe you're not just looking for generals or ambassadors. You're looking for your kids to infiltrate society, every place where they are, where they live, where they work, where they go for a cup of coffee, wherever they are doing life, that they take your presence, that they change atmospheres, that they carry a glory that starts to shift what is happening in the natural. Papa, we want to be those sons and those daughters of presence, of glory. And Lord, we want to be those that are led by your Spirit. And Lord, if that means that sometimes you've got to rebuke us, that's fine. Because we want to be kids that grow to maturity. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Train us that we might be like Jesus. Amen. In closing, I didn't actually plan to have us look at some questions today and answer them. My plan was to have us look at bringing some encouraging words to one another. But our time has run out, but I am going to very quickly read through four things that I was feeling, and if you want to respond and come forward for prayer for that, feel free to do so. Number one was feeling like there were some people here who were afraid of missing God. Whether that's a time issue, and I felt the Lord say it's not too late. But I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage us that he is 100% committed to our development and growth. And that we are not going to miss him. Because he's the one, he's the coach, he's the one with his eye on us. Next thing, I mentioned it in my message about maturity is measured by dependence. And I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage and bless some people here this morning that you feel like you're not very mature as a Christian because you're always asking God for help. You're more mature than you think because you're leaning upon him, and that's called grace. And his encouragement is, live by it. And the final one that I had was the Lord simply saying, I'm not going to beat up on you. Whether you've come from an abusive background or not, I feel that there's some people here who carry that. They're scared that if they really let God into their life, that he would somehow beat up on them, that he'd be too hard, that he'd be too strict. The picture that came to mind was actually of my brother. On the way to school, he would hide his togs under the hedge before we got on the school bus. And it took Mum and Dad a long time to recognise what was happening. Because he would go to school and the school teacher would say, have you got your togs? No. Because he was fearful, because his teacher had told him, I'm going to throw you in the deep end to teach you to swim. So my brother figured out that if he didn't have his togs, his teacher wouldn't throw him in the deep end. And I feel like there's somebody here, and it may be more than one person, that you feel like if you show up, God's going to throw you in the deep end. And it's a question of, God, can I really trust you? If I let you develop me and if I sign up for your child development program, are you going to ask me to run 20 laps when I can only run 10? And if that's you this morning, I believe Papa wants to bless you. I believe he wants to break that fear off you and to let you know he's a good daddy. And he wants to be your personal trainer. He wants to work with you and to help you grow into everything that's in your heart and that you're wanting to become. So if that's you this morning, I encourage you to come forward for prayer. My ministry team will join me. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your blessing upon us. And thank you for all that you're leading us into. Amen.